Matthew chapter 7, please. It will not be long, and that will not be what I say on Sunday morning. We're wrapping up Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So I mentioned to you a number of weeks ago, our Lord begins the conclusion to His message, the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 13, and He talks about entering in the straight way and the narrow way, and we spent some time last week looking at that text. A number of weeks ago, we looked at beware false prophets. So He says, hey, look, there's a lot of people on the broad way and few people on the narrow way. You need to know them by their fruits. And then He says, there's a lot of people who think they're on the narrow way, but they're really not. And that's really what He deals with this morning in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Let's look there, please. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I've entitled my message this morning, Religious but Lost. Religious but lost. There's an element in which this morning the fact that you're in church means you're somewhat religious. You're come this morning, and I appreciate you coming. It's rather boring to preach to an empty crowd, if that's what you can call it, an empty house, let's say. It's interesting as we look through the Word of God. Now, just as my way of introduction, I want to spend a little bit of time looking at some things. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You're familiar with the story. In John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. A Pharisee, memorized the first five books of the Bible minimum, went through incredible things, very religious. Matter of fact, in that day and time, the height of religion, if you will. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Natural birth, spiritual birth. You have to have both to enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Religious, but lost, was Nicodemus. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. We'll pick up in verse 4. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Paul is speaking here. He says, Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, that is, the things that I did in my flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. If we want to put our works beside each other, I'll stack mine up. Here they are. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, religious of the religious, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul was religious, but lost. Religious, but lost. Look at Acts chapter 10 with me. Acts chapter 10. We're not going to read this entire text, but it's another example. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. Religious, but lost. Eventually in this text, calls for the apostle Peter. Peter comes, preaches the gospel to him. He does get saved, but before that he was religious, but lost. This morning I'd like us to see this simple truth. We must have a relationship with Jesus before we work for him, lest our works be iniquity. I say that again. We must have a relationship with Jesus before we work for him, lest our works be iniquity. Father, how we need you this morning. We want to be fair to the text of Scripture. Lord, my heart is burdened today. I would hate to think, Lord, that someone at Emmanuel Baptist Church, perhaps someone who claims to be a member and has been baptized and who teaches Sunday school and who visits people and all these things, and yet they've never really repented of their sins and trusted Jesus as their Savior. Oh Lord, how I would never want them to stand and you say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Help us to be clear this morning. In Christ's precious name, amen. Number one, I'd like us this morning to look at the words. Jesus says in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Matter of fact, the Urban Dictionary defines talk is cheap as this: a phrase used to indicate individuals' inclination to verbalize opinions, stances, or other traits, and subsequent reluctance to act upon said traits. Talk is cheap. The word saith here means to point out with words. To point out with words. In other words, I can say that I am something, but that doesn't make it so. You could say anything you want, but it doesn't make it so. For instance, you could say you are a great basketball player, but that doesn't make it so. Seth's not here this morning. I was going to mess with him about West Virginia getting beat the other day because Seth was talking a little bit, and so was West Virginia until after the game. They stopped talking for some reason. They thought they could compete with Kentucky. They obviously could not. Talk is cheap. I'm not just picking on Seth, but anyway. The fruit doesn't match the words, in other words, Jesus is saying. That's one of the potential definitions of this. And coming in context, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Because he's just said, "By their fruit you shall know them." So the fruit that they're producing is not matching what they're saying. I am an apple tree with oranges hanging on it. That's the idea that our Lord said. Just because you say you're an apple tree doesn't make you an apple tree when you're producing oranges. A parallel passage in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You can't say boss, boss, master, master, and not do what I tell you to do. It doesn't work that way. John Phillips says, "To call on the name of the Lord continually but never to do what he says is in essence a false profession. Saying you are doing something in Jesus' name while not obeying him is still disobedience." And that's what these people are doing. We'll see as we open this passage that they were doing things that need to be done, but they weren't obeying what our Lord told them to do. How obedient are you? How obedient are you? Are you doing your things that you're doing, whatever those may be, to earn your way to heaven? Or are you doing things because He is taking you to heaven? There's a big difference. Do I believe that being here this morning is somehow going to help me get to heaven? Or I'm here this morning because He's taken me to heaven and I want to worship Him? Big difference in the two. That's what Jesus is dealing with here. So we see the words, but number two, we see the will. He says at the end of that verse, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Doeth, one of the definitions, to produce or to bear or to shoot forth. Sounds again like he's referring to that fruit bearing, doesn't it? He that doeth, that produces, that bears the fruit, that's the one that's genuinely saved. The will of the Father, the commands and precepts. In other words, they do what God wishes for us to do. Again, just because someone claims Him as Lord doesn't mean He is Lord of their life. And it's not just doing. If it were just doing, these people would qualify, wouldn't they? Because they're doing things. And in fact, we'll see in a few minutes, they're doing things in the name of Jesus. They're doing them. But they're not doing the will of God. Again, there's a difference there. Let's say this morning that a son was mowing the grass for his dad. Good thing, right? But what if his dad told him to take out the trash? You could say, yeah, but you understand. The grass needed mowed, and mowing the grass is a good thing. That's all true. But that's not what his dad told him to do. His dad told him to take out the trash. So what is he? He's disobedient. But you're like, wait a minute, he's doing a good thing. That doesn't matter. Is there a biblical illustration for this? Turn to Matthew 21 with me quickly. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 and verse 28. "Well, what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' So what's the will of the Father? Work in the vineyard. He answered and said, 'I will not.' But after he repented and went." Ah, Dad, I shouldn't have said that. I'll go do what you told me to do. "He came to the second and likewise and said, 'Likewise, I want you to go today and work in my vineyard.' And he said, 'Yes, sir, I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his Father?" They said unto him, "The first." Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," boy, this one stung, "that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Ouch. He's talking to the religious crowd. He said, it's actually the one that's obedient. That's what he's saying here. It doesn't matter what he said. "Yes, sir, I'll obey you right away." But he didn't do it. It was the actions that followed the will of the Father. Go work today in my vineyard. Whose will are you obeying this morning? Remember, he's talking to religious people. He's narrowed in here the whole text. He's dealing with the Pharisees particularly. Religious. Jesus making it clear not only in this text but throughout his earthly ministry that what the Pharisees were doing wasn't going to earn them into heaven. It was about a relationship they needed with Jesus Christ. So we see the words. Number two, the will. Number three, the works. Verse 22. Many. Same as the Broadway. Many there be that's on that road. There's a lot of them. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name's done many wonderful works?" That day. What day is he referring to? Judgment day. When they get to that time where they're going to give an account, they're going to say, "But wait a minute." Matter of fact, the crowds were following Jesus at this point. Jesus has become incredibly popular. He is the end thing, if you will. And there are massive crowds with him. He's not yet gotten to a point where he's pared them down by dealing with them in some areas. But one author said this, saying Lord includes taking Jesus for master, listening to his teachings with appreciation and admiration, everything short of carrying out his teachings in their life. In other words, they were willing to say, oh yeah, that's good. But living it was a different thing. We find that true as well, isn't it? Is it much easier for us to say what we're going to do than actually live what we're going to do? You guys look like you're a calf looking at a new gate this morning. You don't have a struggle with doing it? You just... like, well, Pastor, if we admit it, then you've got us. Well, that's true. That's kind of the point. We all struggle with that, don't we? We do. But I want you to notice something here. Number one, under the works here, they presumed. They presumed. See what it says here? And many will say to me that day, have we not? This is not a questioning statement like, Lord, I'm confused. Have we not? It's a cocky statement. Have we not? Like, how dare you? That's the idea of this statement. Vincent's Word Study says, it therefore pictures both the self-conceit and the self-deception of these people. What are you talking about? We did all these things for you. What do you mean? That's the idea behind this. They presumed. What you have done does not matter if you don't know Jesus. Doesn't matter. You can do everything in this book. Now, we understand you're not going to, but I'm saying theoretically, you could do everything in this book and not have a relationship with Christ, and the Bible says everything that you've done is iniquity. That's what the Lord says. That's, wow. These people presumed. But number two, they prophesied. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Prompting to teach, to refute, to reprove, to admonish, to comfort others, to act as a prophet, to discharge the prophetic office. You get the idea? These are preachers. I believe that we're going to have men who have stood behind pulpits and have said, wait a minute, I preached every Sunday in your name. Me preaching up here earns me zero of heaven. Zero. My relationship with Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. Not the fact that God's called me to preach. Because if it did, then some of you would be in trouble, right? Because he hadn't called you to preach. This word is used quite frequently. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, and it shall come to pass in the last days. This is happening on the day of Pentecost. Saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. That took place on the day of Pentecost, and thousands were saved. This is a powerful word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. In the same chapter, but he that prophesieth, speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So this is a powerful word, and these people are saying, wait a minute, we did this in your name. They prophesied. They presumed. They prophesied. Number three, they purged. The word cast out. He says, in thy name have cast out devils. To drive demons away is the idea. They drove them out. And then he says in the end of verse 22, and in thy name done many wonderful works. The word done there is the same as doeth in verse 21. He that doeth the will of my... So they're saying, look, we have done this. We've done what you told us to do. Number four, they had power. And I put that those in parenthesis, in quotes, power. The wonderful works mean strength, power, or ability. Do you know what the Greek word is? Dunamis. They're like, hey, we had dynamite when we were doing these things, and we did it all for you. But not one time in the doing of all these things did they really know him. Jesus said, yeah, you did all these things. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. On the surface, would you say that these people are saved? On the surface, I would say most of us would look at them and go, wow. I've had actually people at funerals say this to me. If anybody makes it to heaven, this guy will. And then they go to tell me all the things that they've done. And I tell you, they may have been the greatest man in that community. But without Christ, Jesus will say unto them, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You say, Pastor, I thought last Sunday morning was the evangelistic service. Can I tell you something? This is for us. This is not for the people who think they're lost. This is for the people who think they're saved. These are the people that are shocked that Jesus is saying to them, are you kidding? Are you talking about me? I mean, yeah, I could see you talking about this guy, but me not making it in? What's wrong with you? That's the idea of this text. What is the reason that you are working for the Lord? Why do you do what you do? In the back of your mind, are you trying to earn more favor with God? Number four, I want us to see the warrant. The word warrant has a number of definitions, but one of those is to give reason or sanction for. Jesus is going to give them the reason. He says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The word profess means to declare openly or to speak out freely. He says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. God doesn't know those who claim to know him. They may be saying there, wait a minute, God, but we know you. And he's like, I don't know you. I would probably be a good argument to say that of all the names in the world that's known, Jesus would be at the top. There's places in the world that have never heard his name, and I'm not minimizing that. But population-wise, a good portion of the world have heard the name Jesus. They may not know who he is. Even those in the Muslim world know who Jesus is. They don't believe he was the Son of God, but they know who he is. But knowing him, quote unquote, and having a relationship with him are two different things. Jesus, in essence, is going to declare openly that he never knew them. Though you claim to know him, he will send you away because all your labor is iniquity in his sight. He's actually quoting from Psalms chapter 6 and verse 8. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord heard the voice of my weeping. The word iniquity means contempt or a violation of the law. It's like, wait a minute. How could we preach in your name, cast out demons in your name, have powerful works done in your name, and all of that be iniquity? I didn't make that up. That's what Jesus says. I'm not going to take the time this morning to expose everyone in the world, per se, that have this. But let me just give you this warning. Just because someone has power to perform things, And just because someone does those things in the name of Jesus doesn't make it legitimate. I've had people tell me, you don't understand. I went to this particular thing and I want to tell you, they had the feeling. I don't doubt that you can go to some of these meetings and there's a spirit there. I don't doubt that that spirit may feel like and look like the real one. But can I tell you who the master of deception is? Does the Bible not tell us that he comes as an angel of light? For most of us in this room, the devil's not going to present himself as the devil. He's not going to walk up and say, how you doing today, Tyler? I just want you to know I'm Satan. I'm fist to tempt you, pal. And when you're done, I'm going to stab you in the back. You ready? He doesn't do that. Because most of us would know instantly, whoa, wait a minute. I know who this guy is, and I don't want nothing to do with him. No, he comes as someone like your friend. Paul warns us that people would come in sheep's clothing, right? We talked about that in Matthew chapter 7. They're going to look like the real thing, but they're not going to be. So our Lord is saying, hey, look, just because they say something doesn't make it so. It's interesting. Notice how people describe their works. Preaching, casting out devils, wonderful things for God was being done. And notice how God describes it. Iniquity. Iniquity. Folks, I want to say this morning, it's not worth getting to that day and having this said to you. My purpose this morning is not to scare anybody out of the assurance of your salvation, unless your salvation is not assured. I want to beg you to examine yourselves. I want you to look and say, hey, what is really happening? Do I really have a relationship with Jesus? We have finished our second time through the church with pepperoni pizza at Pastor's Place, and the grave majority of you have been there. Some of you may be missed for whatever reason. But the question we asked this year was, tell us quickly your salvation testimony. What happened the night you got saved or the day that you got saved? And a number of people in this room said to us, I thought I was saved for years, but I actually realized eventually that I didn't. The young ladies are here. Their daddy spent 25 years on the mission field, a lost man. A lost man. Had he died during that time, this would have been him. But Lord, I went to the mission field in your name. I fought devils in your name. I did incredible. There's a church in a village in your name that I helped plant there. And God would have said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Just recently, an Oregon State Police has received multiple reports of phone scammers posing as police officers to con people out of their money. Here's a few things about the scam. When they call, the scammers claim to be members of a police department or a sheriff's department. They say the victim missed jury duty, had outstanding fines, or had a warrant for their arrest, and that the charges can be taken care of over the phone with a payment. The callers may instruct the victims to purchase reloadable cards and call them back with the numbers. Similar scams have been reported in the past year where callers claim to be utility workers or other government agencies. Not what they claim to be. Not what they claim to be. Father Enretti was a Benedictine monk and respected authority on archaic music. He also claimed to have co-invented, as part of a team that included Nobel Prize winning physicist Enrico Fermi, I'm probably slaughtering these names, and German rocket science, there actually is something as rocket science, isn't it? Rocket scientist Wernher von Buren, the chronovisor. They did this chronovisor, a device that looked like a television but could tune into events from the past. According to this Benedictine monk, he had observed the Last Supper and Christ's crucifixion, as well as Napoleon and other events. The team had later voluntarily dismantled the device because in the wrong hands, it could create the most fearsome dictatorship the world has ever seen. It has been inspired, he said, by Nostradamus, okay, who had personally related to him the device's possibilities. When pressed for evidence, this man produced a picture of Christ on the cross, reportedly photographed through the chronovisor. After the photo's resemblance to a carving by Coluto Varelli was noticed, however, he admitted that the photo was fake. Nevertheless, he insisted that this chronovision was real. We could go on and on, couldn't we? People who claim to be something that they're not, and it's getting more and more. The Bible warns us to be careful about people who claim to be the Messiah as the day approaches. It's getting more frequent. Just do a search on the web about those who claiming to be the Messiah or who claim to know when he's coming back. And all fakes. But I'm not preaching to them this morning. I'm preaching to you. So a couple of questions. Are you who you claim to be? I know this morning what you claim, but are you who you claim to be? What Bible reason could you give me for knowing this? Bible reason. What evidence of growth can you point to that proves the point? In other words, can you say, here, let me pluck from the tree. Here's the fruit. What evidence? I used to ask the leadership team when I was youth pastor here, who would sit in an interview, tell me something that proves you're saved. I'm not talking about a Bible verse that says, well, I believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about some fruit. What's some fruit in your life that tells me you know Christ is your Savior? So what's some fruit in your life? You love to be with God's people? When's the last time the Spirit of God convicted you and said, that's got to change? When's the last time you opened this book and it just fed you and it was a delight to be in? When's the last time you did something that you knew was wrong and it ate you up until you got it right? If you say, you know what, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm teaching a Sunday school class. Iniquity. But I go out soul winning. Iniquity. But I give to the church. Iniquity. That's what Jesus is saying. Without a relationship, everything you do is iniquity. You have to have that relationship first. I want to tell you this morning, if you don't have it, Jesus wants to offer it to you. We're at both an exciting and depressing week. We're going to talk about some of that tonight. I hope you'll come back. I'm excited about tonight. We're just going to talk about tonight, about what the disciples went through this week. Just think about it. Meditate on that some this afternoon. What they were feeling on this day as the triumphal entry. As people are quoting Psalms 118, the Hillel. The Messiah's here. Messiah's here. He's here. To midweek, he's killed. To next Sunday, he's alive. What? No. I saw him. You're out of your mind. No. He's alive. Boy, a gamut of emotions these guys went through this week. But I want to tell you, that's the whole reason he came. Was to make religious people in a relationship, lost people in a relationship. You say, those are the two same. I know, but one just doesn't know it yet. Do you know Him as your Savior? Based on the relationship you have with Him, not based upon what you're doing. Father, I've tried to deliver my heart this morning. Lord, if our people know for sure they're on their way to heaven, I certainly don't want to question that. But oh Lord, how I would hate to have some of our dear people stand at that judgment seat and be rejected. And oh Lord, how I would rather them humble themselves now and say, you know what? I'm just not sure. Lord, now may Your Spirit work in lives. You're the only one that can draw people to Yourself. And so I pray that You'll do that now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The Holy Spirit working on you this morning? Is He saying to you, hey, that's you? Like, wait a minute. You don't understand. I remember the day that I was baptized. Do you believe that the devil is working on you for your assurance of your salvation? Why do you feel that conviction? Would you respond to him? Don't stay there. Walk out of this building not knowing, not based on what you're doing, but based on who you know, Jesus Christ. And say, Pastor, the truth is, there's a question. I got a question in my mind. I may be religious, but I'm lost. And if I were to stand before God today, I think He would look at me and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Would you pray for me? I'd love to do that. You'd say, that's me. I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. If I stood there today, I believe the Lord would say, depart from me, I never knew you. Anyone like that this morning? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Would you examine yourself? A Christian, because all of you have basically said that's what you are, and that's wonderful. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you get up in the morning, spend the time in the Word? Why are you here today? Why have you been working on the building? Why did you teach your Sunday school class this morning? Those are thick questions for us this morning. Are you doing it because you love Him? I sure hope so. Our Father, please work as only You can. And we love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.